Black Ops crazy. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the festival of our Lord's resurrection. Graciously help us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. One final item in the interim. We received a memorial gift in honor of Pastor Sims from his parents, and we pondered what to do with this gift, and decided that we would use it to buy a baptismal ewer. Now, in the church, as in computers, there's a name for everything, and the pitcher that is used to pour the water into the baptismal font is not called a pitcher, of course, it's called a ewer. I have no idea why, but that's what it is. And I'm aware that Pastor Sims had wanted to have a baptismal ewer, so this is a wonderful confluence of things. So this is the ewer that we've chosen, and we will dedicate it now. And I invite you to join with me in that prayer. All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe. You made the whole earth for your glory. All creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. You stretched out the heavens like a curtain. You divided the day from the night. You appointed times and seasons for work and rest, for tearing down and building up. You blessed your people through all generations and guided them in life and in death. Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Isaiah and all the prophets, Mary, the mother of our Lord, Peter, James, John, and all of the apostles, and all the saints and witnesses in your church of ages past, in whom your Spirit spoke and moved. Be with us now and bless us as we dedicate this baptismal ewer to your glory and praise. Grant us faith to know your gracious purpose in all things. Give us joy in them, and lead us to the building up of your kingdom, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the reading.
The first reading is from Acts 4:32-35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 133 responsively. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity.
It is like fine oil upon the head that runs down upon the beard.
Upon the beard of Aaron and runs down upon the collar of his robe.
It is like the dew of the curtain that falls upon the hills of Zion.
For there the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. St. John writes, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side.'"
The disciples were, Alleluia.
A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe."
Alleluia.
Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life.
Alleluia.
Please be seated. Thank you for humoring me. I thought I ought to do at least one more odd thing before departing from your midst. I've always wanted to do that, and I think the two work nicely together. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. That really is the heart of the matter, isn't it? The heart of this whole enterprise we call Christian faith and life. Not seeing and yet coming to believe. If only it weren't so contrary to common sense, so contrary to common wisdom that tells us seeing is believing. Yes, that's what we all really believe, is that seeing is believing. When Dana and I filed our taxes this year, of course, what I wanted to tell the government was the check is in the mail. What the IRS wanted to see was forms, lots and lots of forms, signed, sealed, and delivered. Federal, Missouri, Kansas, and California. But then when all is said and done, don't we all prefer it that way? If we be honest, aren't we all more willing to believe what we can see, to take seriously what we can touch, put our trust in what we can hold in our hand, the proverbial bird in the hand being worth any two in the bush? Don't we all really believe that's how it works? At heart, we are all Thomas, that disciple of Jesus who, when he hears that the Lord is risen, answers, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails, unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Well, right on, Thomas. Right on. I'm with you. It isn't that Thomas is being stubborn or unreasonable. If anyone is being unreasonable, it's Peter, James, and John, and the others who expect Thomas to buy what they're selling. No way. Thomas knows how the world works. He has seen his Lord crucified. He may even have seen his Lord buried, if only from a nice, safe distance. He's not mentioned in the crucifixion scene in any of the Gospels, but I think he might have been lurking in the shadows somewhere. That's a possibility. And dead, after all, is dead. So what's this nonsense about, "We have seen the Lord"? What could that be but wishful thinking? And yet Thomas doesn't go away. I think that's just fascinating. Having said all of that, Thomas doesn't go away. He doesn't abandon his fellow disciples. He doesn't just go off and start a whole new life someplace else. Thomas is with the other disciples a week later when again the risen Jesus comes among them. "Peace be with you," he says. "Put your finger here, Thomas, and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas does. Thomas does, even though he knows how the world works, even though he has seen his Lord crucified, even though he knows full well the truth about the grave. Nevertheless, despite it all, Thomas believes, "My Lord and my God," he says. Today I say goodbye to St. Peter's and to San Diego and head home to my family and my life in Kansas City. Inconceivable as that is, yes, I'm getting in my car and driving east on purpose. Many of you have asked what I'm doing next, and the answer simply is that I don't know for sure. There are some possibilities simmering, but I don't know for sure. It's just possible, very much an outside chance, but just possible that St. Peter's will be my last stint as a pastor. If that were to happen, what a way to finish. What a way to finish. You guys may have ruined me for any other place. You know, palm trees and pelicans set a standard that is very hard to meet any place else in the country. And besides the palm trees and pelicans, you as a household, St. Peter's, are an extraordinary place. I don't want that to go to your head, by the way. But you are an extraordinary household with marvelous gifts to share in the midst of a world that needs them. And you have been a huge blessing to me. I am grateful for that. And in all of that, you may have ruined me. Oh, well. Yet it's just as possible, having been ruined by you, that St. Peter's will be only my most recent stint as a pastor or interim pastor or whatever I might do. I really don't know. That's in the process of unfolding. Alongside of that, you will be welcoming very shortly your new pastor, and together you will open a new chapter in the life and ministry of this congregation, St. Peter's. That new chapter may resemble chapters in your past. That's a very good possibility. Or this new chapter may indeed be quite new. Quite new, filled with fresh opportunities and fresh challenges and fresh stories to tell. Wouldn't we all love to be able to see clearly
right here and right now how the grace and mercy and love of God will be at work. At work in my new chapter, whatever that will be, and at work in your new chapter, whatever will come in that. And know for certain that that's what we're seeing. That what we're looking at is the grace and mercy and love of God at work. Wouldn't we love to know that with certainty? Aren't we, at heart, a lot like Thomas, if not Thomas himself? We are all Thomas, reluctant right along with him to trust in what we haven't yet seen for ourselves. And yet, aren't we also a lot like Thomas, persistent right along with him? Not only reluctant, but also persistent right along with him, persistent in hoping to see our risen Lord, persistent in waiting for with these other followers of Jesus for what will come, persistent in trusting that God will at last do what God has promised. Aren't we all Thomas? One of the prayers that has come to mean a great deal to me while I've been here at St. Peter's doing the rhythm of morning and evening prayer is found at the end of both of those orders of service. I recommend it to you and would like to close with it now. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God so bless us all. Let everyone say amen.